And on this episode of the Wintrust Business Lunch, we'll visit with Jim Carr, the president and CEO of Carr Machine and Tool. An interesting story there. Tom Gimbel's always got something interesting to say, too, the founder and CEO at LaSalle Network. Welcome back, Tom. How are you?
I'm good, John Williams. I thought you were going to say, and on a non-interesting note, we have Tom Gimbel.
On the other hand, here's Tom Gimbel.
Exactly. That's where I thought you were going. I appreciate you not taking the low road. Thank you, Joe.
I would never say that about you. So are you surprised 60% support the new vaccine mandates from the president?
No, I'm not surprised at all. I really believe that the majority are tired of the COVID way of life, and they want to get back to life as normal as they can. There's obviously a delta, no pun intended, of between people who want the vaccination and who don't. But, CEOs are looking for it. The president gave CEOs cover, right? I mean, he gave the best cover you can give, that in defense of, if the president of the United States is saying this, then we want everybody vaccinated.
Yeah. I think the president did for CEOs what Governor J.B. Pritzker did for school board presidents. Well, it's out of our hands. You've got to wear a mask, or in this case. But boy, that's quite a blanket statement from the president, isn't it? Hey, private businesses, if you have more than 100 employees, everybody has to be vaccinated.
The real problem I have with it, and I'm for it, quite frankly, and we have, if you're coming into the office, you have to be vaccinated at my company. However, the problem I have is the 100-person threshold, how you implement it, who's going to regulate it, are you going to now have whistleblowers that are calling out companies that are violating it? So I think it seemed a little bit like, and pardon the crudeness of this, John, but it seemed a little bit like what they did to get out of Afghanistan. It's like, in theory, the idea is really good, but the execution and the plan, I'm not sure, is all there to make sure that it happens the right way.
Did you see the political lines on this one, how they're different?
Yeah, I think I think this one is less politicized than Afghanistan was. I think that was to appease a base. I think this is for the general safety of trying to keep the numbers down and get life back to normal. So I think this one's less political, but equally as unplanned.
Well, let's put it this way. It may not be politically motivated, but it is being received that way. My understanding is about 80% of Democrats support the mandate, but only 30% of Republicans support the mandate.
Yeah, well, I think that also goes, the political lines, the geographical lines of where things are. I don't know why it's that way when the last administration all got vaccinated and you have the folks. I think there is a little bit, I'm an anti-social media guy, even though we do our promotions of our company. But I think the social media aspect has really been the downturn of what's a lot of the problems in our country. And I think with this, it's just exacerbated it, that people are reading things and they don't look at the sources and where the ads pop up, and not knowing their ads, and they're listening to the propaganda. And this is not a propaganda thing. This is, let's get life back to normal and get people back into offices and get our dry cleaners back open and our restaurants fully staffed and get back to life as normal.
By the way, Tom, I also noticed, I forget which stipulation it was, maybe it was for the whole program that the president's proposing, but that they're giving them 2.5 months. They're giving them 75 days to get vaccinated. I know that you need a couple of weeks in between doses.
You need at least 5 weeks. You need at least 35 days, right? So you got to have 3 weeks between shot one and shot two, and then 2 weeks after shot two. So that would be 5 weeks to do it. So they've got an extra 5 or 6 weeks there tied in to do it. But I'll give you an interesting conversation. I was recruiting somebody today and talking to a candidate to come in, individuals in their early 50s. And I said, we are moving to an all vaccinated office and we're doing a hybrid in the office. And the person said to me, I said, are you vaccinated? And they said, I'm not yet. And I go, okay, well, is that a firm line in the sand, or what's the situation? And she said, no, my husband's vaccinated, my sister's vaccinated, my family's about 50-50 on it. She goes, but I just haven't gotten there yet, and I was waiting to see if it would get FDA approved. And I said, so now that Pfizer is, and for a job, she goes, yeah, I'll do it. So I do think the FDA approval is a huge step for maybe not all of the people that haven't gotten it, but I do think the FDA approval is a huge step.
And that's fair. Is that legal to ask that question when you're hiring a candidate?
It is. You know, that's the nice thing about what the cover that's been given to us. I mean, look at the president just said you have to be vaccinated to come into the office. How else can you find out if you don't ask?
Do you like the idea of badges or wrist bracelets or something like that? I mean, should we be displaying that? How do we prove it to somebody when we come in?
I think that's a little scarlet letterish for me, but I do believe that through an HR department or an office manager or what have you, that you should have to show a vaccination card and be able to do that. Now, people say, well, you can forge those. Well, I got to tell you, if you've got employees that are lying about this, you've got bigger problems about what they're lying about than just their vaccination
status. An interesting point. Tom Gimbel is the founder and CEO at LaSalle Network, thelasallenetwork.com. Nice to hear your voice, Tom.
Always good talking to you, John. Stay healthy.
Ted Rossman joining us on the Business Lunch, senior industry analyst at creditcards.com. Hi, Ted.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
What percentage of holiday shoppers are going to buy their gifts online this year?
We found 62% say they're going to make most of those holiday purchases online. So that's down from 71% a year ago, but it's up from 51% in 2019. So you might say that it's the midpoint, kind of between the last pre-pandemic holiday season and last year, which we were really in the throes of lockdowns. And basically, a lot of the online shopping trend has stuck, although not all of it.
Is this across generations and across income groups and stuff like that?
It is, yeah. This is really broad-based. You know, among income levels, we do see a little bit of an uptick with higher-income households. But really, across the board, the majority of income levels are doing most of their shopping online for the holidays. And then ages, yeah, there really wasn't too much variability by generation. This is a pretty broad trend here. And people are starting early. That was another big thing that we identified, is that a quarter of holiday shoppers say that they're likely to begin before the end of September. Another quarter are going to start in October. So that's half of Christmas shoppers starting before Halloween.
That's probably a good idea just because of the supply chain, right?
I agree. I think especially this year, we're hearing so much about supply chain disruptions and shipping delays. And yeah, I think it's to your advantage to start early. Certain categories will probably be hit harder than others. Video games are one that I've definitely been hearing are getting caught up in that chip shortage. And video games, video game consoles, they're in short supply. Other stuff's affected too, though. A lot of clothes and toys come from overseas. There have been a lot of well-documented slowdowns at the ports. And I think part of the theme here is that if you see it, you should grab it, because retailers may have trouble restocking. And yeah, I think it benefits you to put some extra time in this year.
What do you think this means for brick-and-mortar operations then?
It's notable because 80% of retail sales still take place in person. So you might think that these two trends are kind of at odds with one another, that even though online commerce has grown, it's still only about a fifth of overall retail. I would say that, you know, there's some noise in the statistics, just in the sense that groceries, cars, those kind of things tend to be overwhelmingly in person. So it skews the overall stats a little bit. We also phrased those numbers I gave you earlier about online shopping as making most of their purchases online. So just a few kind of statistical caveats. You know, I think that it is important to support local businesses, and we do want them to have a good holiday season as well. But there's no doubt that online is convenient. And that was the biggest thing that bubbled up in the survey, was that it's not specifically COVID. It's really just more generally people like shopping online because it's convenient. And you may have to build in a little more time this year to get these things to your doorstep, but it is so easy. But retailers are happy to have you come into the store. I don't think Black Friday will be what it used to be. I think it'll be more of a long, sustained kind of season of deals. I think a lot of the promos will probably start in early November, and it's not quite what it used to be with all the doorbusters and the people lining up. Although there will be some of that, I think it's going to be a good holiday season for retailers.
Well, you did just cast a scene for me now in the movie they'll make about how we used to shop, say, in the aughts, and that would be long lines on Thanksgiving night of people rushing into the stores to grab merchandise when, with a couple of clicks, Amazon will deliver it tomorrow, for crying out loud, right?
That's right, and there's that hybrid, too, where you can do curbside pickup or buy online, pick up in store. I think that's a theme that we're seeing this year is just diversification of buying models, really catering to different preferences. A lot of consumers are in good shape. They have saved more. They've paid down debt. I think people are hungry for a normal, or at least as normal as can be, kind of traditional holiday season. So I do think people will be spending. MasterCard's projecting a 7.4% increase this holiday season versus last. Actually, last holiday season was pretty solid, too. It was up about 8% from the year prior, according to the National Retail Federation. So a lot of people do have money to spend. And I think retailers are in good shape, although I would also note that consumers are somewhat price sensitive. I mean, like, the retailers can't be too greedy. I think they're going to have to offer some deals, and I think they'll start them early to get people excited and to spread out some of the impacts that we've been talking about.
Kind of ironic, though. I suppose some consumers are throwing their hands up saying, my luck, I finally got some money to spend, and now the stores don't have the merchandise they used to. Or if, like you said, I don't get it now, I might not be able to get it. Even online orders, you're not, you know, you worry a little bit when you click that the delivery time is honest. And sometimes the delivery time isn't that promising either. It's that's the big dilemma this shopping season, don't you suppose?
You're right. And I think a lot of it is linked, too. There's a little bit of chicken or the egg going on because, you know, yes, the virus is part of this, obviously, and some of the international shipping delays and, you know, all these things are interrelated. But with respect to supply and demand, I think that hits on the fact that we have a lot of people who are looking to spend right now. And I think in many cases, demand is outpacing supply. And It just goes to show that a lot of people are oddly faring better financially. I mean, we don't want to forget about those who are sadly doing worse. But, you know, overall, the personal saving rate is up. Credit card debt is down. I think we do have a lot of people looking to spend, and good sales have held up well throughout the pandemic. It's really been services that have been hampered more, and that's a huge wild card this year. We still don't exactly know what might happen with travel and dining, and there's actually been some ominous signs lately with the Delta variant and people pulling back. But I think in terms of goods, yeah, people are hungry to spend.
Well, I bought some goods lately. They're not at my house yet, so I'm definitely a buyer, but I have not yet been a receiver on some things. But that's the nature of the beast these days. The headline at creditcards.com poll, 62% of holiday shoppers will buy mostly online. Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst there. Nice to talk to you, Ted.
Same here. Thanks for having me.
In this segment, we catch up with another local business. Jim Carr is the president and CEO of Carr Machine and Tool in Elk Grove Village. Hey, welcome to the show, Jim. How are you today?
John, thanks for inviting me on your show. Appreciate it.
Tell me what you guys do, machine and tool. So you make instruments or tools or machines for other industries, right? You're kind of a B2B operation.
We are a B2B operation. We are an aerospace machine shop. We serve industries like aerospace, space and exploration, semiconductor, medical, and Department of Defense industries. Mostly, we're really looking closely at emerging technologies. We really feel that there's a future in that particular industry, so that's what we're focusing a lot of our attention on.
Can you give me an example of something you make that maybe I could get my head around for one of these companies?
Absolutely. So one of our customers is Virgin Galactic, and I'm sure we're all familiar with them. You know, there was just a very popular spaceship launch with a billionaire on board the other day.
Yeah.
And we make parts for that particular industry, for those rockets, for those that we have parts on the International Space Station. So very high-end, high-precision, a lot of documentation, a lot of inspection goes into doing those parts.
Do you worry about the tolerance levels, and will your part actually perform?
You know, we make sure we cross our T's and dot our I's, and we have a very thorough and rigid inspection department. So, and we have documentations, material certifications to make sure that we're giving the customer exactly what they're calling out on their print. So, no, I'm very confident in our abilities to deliver a flight critical part where the astronaut safety is imperative.
You wonder how many businesses and therefore how many people under those businesses look up at a rocket ship or a space station or a satellite and all have a little piece of ownership of that, are really focused on that.
Right. We say we have our DNA is out there in space somewhere. So it's kind of cool for us to think. And, you know, I have a great team of people that we're all working together to really elevate ourselves and really, you know, make the business go to the next level.
And yet you didn't build the engine. Maybe you're just a tube or a valve or some casing in a machine part, right?
Absolutely. It could be anything that is a precision machined custom component part, typically made from any type of alloy steel. It could be titanium, aluminum, stainless, low or high carbon steels, any of that, plastics even.
Now, it says here in the bio, you host or co-host the number one rated manufacturing podcast called Making Chips. Is that about right?
Yeah. What do you know? As a matter of fact, I do, as a matter of fact. See, I've got the voice, too. No, no, seriously, a friend of mine, a peer, came to me in 2013 after we were interviewed on an AM morning show and said, you know, I think we really did a great job on that. Do you know what podcasts are? And I said, yeah, they're kind of antiquated. He said, no. He said, they're making a resurgence. He says, I really think that we could do this well. So we planned for a year. We did a lot of research on podcasts, the average American commute. And we launched in January of 2015. It immediately went on the iTunes New and Noteworthy list. And we've been getting a lot of PR and press. And to date, we're at about 650 million downloads.
Well,
650,000. I apologize. I added a M on that. It's
either way,
yeah,
though, that's a nice brag. But making chips. So can you tell me much about the chip shortage and supply in this country? And when are we going to fix that?
Yeah, well, as we all know and are feeling right now, the supply chain issues are rampant. Anything from refrigerators to furniture to aluminum to machine parts to steels, any type of product that we're buying, especially from overseas, we're seeing long delays. So, and especially in the chip shortage is huge too. I believe recently one of the major automotive companies stopped production because they didn't have enough chips to sustain their production. So we're seeing that all over. Of course, we do service the semiconductor industry, so we're doing well in that capacity.
I wish that I wish that we'd make them in the United States. I wish that we'd.
Well, we're seeing, John, a reshoring initiative that's coming on really strong. Recently, we talked to a new prospecting company here in the Chicago metro area that said they were sourcing overseas. They realized that the quality that they're getting from overseas wasn't up to their standards were. So now they're willing to pay a little bit more to get it done in a timely manner and have a quality product. So it's really coming back. You know, we've been talking about reshoring for 5, 6, 7 years now. I've never seen it as strong as I have right now.
What did you call that? Restoring?
Reshoring, R-E-S-H-O-R-I-N-G, reshoring.
I've not heard that phrase before, but yes. I guess I get it, huh? So let's bring manufacturing back to our shores.
So let's do it.
Well, I suppose, but you know, here's what Walmart taught us, that people say, I want to buy American, but then they don't. They buy the cheapest they can get, and sometimes the quality is not as good. I wonder if this lesson is going to really be learned, you know?
I believe after the pandemic and all of the supply chain shortages that the domestic OEMs were going through, I believe that the domestic companies are starting to realize that they need redundancy in supply chain. So yes, maybe if they need There's 100%, maybe 20% is going to go overseas, but the other 80% is going to come from a domestic supplier.
And I've heard companies actually delineate the in storage, manufactured locally and manufactured internationally. Maybe it's a third, a third, a third, or something like that. But it sounds like they're refiguring those numbers. Jim Carr is the president and CEO of Carr Machine and Tool in Elk Grove. By the way, how many employees do you guys have then, Jim?
We have two, and we're looking to hire two more this week.
I would imagine
We have 10. I'm sorry.
I would imagine 10,000. You got parts in space for crying out loud.
We do. Well, it's a very niche industry, John.
Wow. So you as a
We're hiring two.
Still,
yes, I'm a small employer.
And yet you've got parts in space on satellites, on rocket ships, on airplanes, things like that.
You bet.
Amazing.
Yes, sir.
Good for you, sir. Jim Carr, president and CEO of Carr Machine and Tool. Nice to talk to you, Jim.
Thanks, John.
He's a podcast host. It's 1244 on WGN. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, and we've got more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Mariano's owner Kroger is teaming up with Instacart to launch a new delivery service and claims it'll get grocery items to customers in 30 minutes. Kroger says the service will be called Kroger Delivery Now. It'll offer 25,000 items for delivery and reach an estimated 50 million homes. The announcement comes at a time when many people are having groceries delivered for convenience and want their items to be delivered quickly. The new delivery service helps Kroger expand its e-commerce footprint in groceries, just as Walmart and Amazon are doing the same. BMO Harris Bank is closing 9 Chicago area branches in early December, according to Cranes. 2 are in Chicago, the rest are in the suburbs. The branches make up 5% of the bank's footprint in the Chicago area. BMO Harris says it'll try to offer workers impacted other jobs, but acknowledges there'll be some staff cuts. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
With the business of food, Steve Alexander.
Yeah, I'm talking today, John, about toilet training dairy calves. I'm not kidding about this and how it's easier than toilet training a toddler. But first, let's talk about vultures.
The actual problem are the black-headed vultures.
Teresa Steckler is a beef specialist for the Illinois Extension Service, and with all of the other threats to animal agriculture, such as disease and coyotes, there are now vultures.
They will act like a pack of wolves. You'll have a cow that just calved. She's tired. She's trying to protect that calf. And what they'll do is they'll have a group on one side of the calf attack the calf, and then she'll go run over to shoo those birds off, and then the birds from the opposite side will come in, and they will just absolutely wear that cow out.
Well, it would seem the solution is for the farmer to grab a rifle and exact revenge on the vultures one by one, but
they're covered by the Migratory Fowl Act, which means that you cannot cull the animals if they're predating on any of your livestock.
So farmers and ranchers have to go through the proper channels within the state and federal ag departments before they can load up those rifles. Meanwhile, along with predators, another threat to animal agriculture is what some would call nonsense. The focus on reducing emissions from cattle, even though emissions from the use of fossil fuels is a far greater issue. But ag is doing its part by feeding cattle special diets to reduce methane, and in New Zealand, the focus has turned to cow urine and a solution called the Moo Loo, a special pen that dairy calves are being taught to use as their latrine. And it seems to work. In fact, the researchers say the calves pick up the routine faster than it takes the average toddler to be toilet trained.
Mm-hmm.
The Moo Loo. At the Chicago Board of Trade, it's kind of a quiet day for corn, up about 6 cents. Beans are down 2. Wheat is up double digits, 11 cents higher right now. Big changes at the Merck, where cattle both live and feeder cattle right now are up over 1.5%. Lean hogs are down about 82 cents. From the farm to your belly, we got a lot going on today. It's National Cream-Filled Donut Day, National Eat a Hoagie Day, and National Ants on a Log Day. I had to look that one up. It's peanut butter spread on celery with raisins placed on top. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Amy Guth joins us on the Business Lunch. If I was working for Amazon, I would quit my job and then hire back for it right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So Amazon is set to hire 125,000 workers. And for some of those roles, they're offering $3,000 bonuses for some of those. So they are calling these permanent warehouse and logistics workers. They are hiring for the holiday season and that big shopping push, but they are, again, calling these permanent jobs. They've also pledged a lot higher wages. So the average starting wage will be $18 an hour, which is higher than its $15 wage that it's at now. They've also said just last week that they would start, they were going to offer to pay four-year college tuition for most of its workers. They're joining Walmart and Target, who've also offered some similar benefits. So yeah, if you're in that field, if that work is interesting, it would probably be a good time to think about working at Amazon.
Are those across the country? Are some of that hiring's in the Chicago area, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Amazon has doubled down so much and put so many new facilities in our area. They've kind of ringed the city. That's, they call it kind of the last stop, the last mile delivery piece of that, you know, is where they get the last bit of stuff. So you have, so if you order something on Amazon, it has less time to travel to get to you so they can serve more people. So in, and part of that is they need a lot of people to work in those warehouses.
Oh yeah. In fact, I drove by a giant one the other day off of Route 80. I'm pretty sure that was an Amazon warehouse.
Yep.
And then you've got to get the products from A to B. Amazon does delivery. UPS is also hiring, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So UPS is doing something kind of interesting. They're looking to hire 100,000 people. Most of that is for the holiday season, but they're also adding something very interesting, and that is most people are going to hear about the results of their job application in 30 minutes or less. So you apply online, and then within a half hour, you will probably hear back about your job status. And they believe that gives them kind of a competitive advantage against some of the others like Amazon, whom you might have to wait a little bit longer to find out about. But I think that's kind of an interesting one, like that technology, that process can happen so fast. I think anybody who's ever applied for any job, right, knows that's such a long process sometimes. So I imagine that would be kind of a relief to know, hey, 30 minutes later, I had a job.
Or don't, but at least then you know the job application process is so anonymous these days. It just sucks the soul out of a person because you're in this limbo forever and you never know. You never know.
Yeah.
You never get a letter, an email, nothing. You just go to a wasteland. And that's so discouraging. Taco Bell wants to... I don't even know what I'm reading here. What is that?
Right. So Taco Bell is piloting a program. For now, they're piloting this in the Tucson area, but with the plan of making this go wider. But it's essentially a subscription for tacos. So people would pay between $5 and $10 a month for what's called the Taco Lovers Pass, which would give you one taco a day for 30 days. We'll see what happens. Some other fast food companies have tried something like this and had some success with it. So we saw this Panera had something like this where you pay and you get, you know, coffee every single day. Some other, you know, Burger King has something similar. So we'll see the taco subscription club. I don't know. I'm on board. I like the idea of a daily taco.
Well, if Panera says, okay, for $10, you can get a coffee a day. That's probably break even for them. I'll bet they still make a nickel on that. But now I'm going to buy a sandwich, a salad, or a roll or something, right?
Yep, so that's kind of the idea, to drive business. The idea would be to kind of lure people in with that free taco, but most people are not going to have just one taco at Taco Bell. They're going to maybe order a burrito and a drink and some other stuff with it, maybe some chips, things like that. So it's going to help, theoretically help drive those menu sales. It'll also be able to give a lot of data to restaurant operators. If you realize, hey, I'm stocked for every single menu item, but here's this one thing that no one's really ordering that much, I might stock a little bit less of it. Or if someone's ordering a lot of something, that tells me I can push this a little harder. I should be stocked for extra, things like that. So it also help with to manage waste and ordering for stores.
Almost exactly a minute left. Just talk to me as you can about the Apple iPhone vulnerability.
Yeah, so I know Anna DeBlantes is going to talk about this a little bit later, but if you have any Apple product, you need to take the time to update it, all of them, your phone, your iPad, your laptop, all those things. There is a critical vulnerability that has been exploited by a surveillance software to spy on a Saudi activist who is remaining anonymous, but nonetheless, this vulnerability is in there. So if you have not updated your iPhone this week, you need to do so.
If I have it on auto update, I presume it'll do that for me, right?
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Sometimes you'll, you know, if you don't have it plugged into power at night, you'll wake up, it'll say, didn't update because you weren't plugged into power. So double check and just make sure you're on the current version of the operating system on your Apple products.
Amy Guth on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thank you, Amy.
Thanks so much, John.